In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's Alexis Sanchez! What a finish! Walcott's going to go through and score! Into the middle. Giroud! It's two!
Hello, I'm Russell Hargreaves, welcoming you to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast. On today's show, we're talking to a couple of academy graduates in the form of Jack Wilshere and Francis Coquelin. The pair were part of the victorious FA Youth Cup team of 2009 and then won the FA Cup with the senior team in 2015. First up, we're talking to Francis as he discusses motivation with Arsenal media's Carl Finocchiaro.
Let's just cut straight to the chase. What motivates you? What makes you do what you want to do as a footballer?
Well, first of all, because I always liked football. It's my passion. So obviously, to turn a passion into my work is something like I don't think many people can do. So obviously, this is a motivation. But then obviously, I've got motivation as well from the outside, from my family. So close family, everything. So yeah, motivates me.
What do you mean your family motivated? Do you do it for them in a way? You represent them?
Yeah, for them in a way. And they're always behind me. The missus always behind me. The kids as well. I finish football, I come back home, they're still playing football. So, and then they want me to play or to be a referee. So no, they're always behind behind the team. And it's a drive for me to obviously make sure they're proud of me.
Do you kind of have them with you? You like just having them in the back of your mind, this little support network, your family. Does that kind of drive you and push you through sometimes when you're maybe not feeling the best?
Yeah, of course, it's always nice to have support from the family. I think even friends to drop a little text before the game or after the game when something goes wrong or it goes well. So it's nice to have the close people around you to support you.
Outside of those kinds of motivation, what I was talking about before, how do you get inspired?
Yeah, I'm trying to get inspiration from everywhere. Yeah, obviously different sport. I watch a lot of basketball as well. So for the minute, it's all about Stephen Curry. What he does is just against a few nights ago, what he done against Oklahoma City. It's just you pick up stuff from everywhere, even some. In the movies as well, sometimes I watched Any Given Sunday the other day with the speech and that. So, I pick up from any sport, and I think there's great champion in any sport. So you can get a lot from it, from anyone. Yeah, we're talking about basketball. I think the like of Michael Jordan. Obviously, it's not really my age, but what he's done, and obviously you hear from him any generation before. So. Yeah, any sport really, as I was saying, like there's great champion. He went for us in France. We've got handball. We've got like great team of handball. Every Olympic Games, every Europe Championship, they're pretty much in the final every time. So you can pick up from anyone.
It's not just about what they do on the court or anything like that. It's also a lot about behind the scenes. Does that mean as much to you about their on court or on field?
Yeah, obviously, like sort of about... Like people look at it and think, they just come and turn up and play on a Sunday. But obviously a lot of work and obviously we do a great job. Football is a great job, but I think people need not to forget that it's tough as well. And we do a lot of work and obviously outside we can't enjoy like we would like sometimes as well. So I think it's a great job Obviously, I wouldn't change for anything in the world, but it demands a lot of things.
Are you as intense in training as you are on the pitch? Do you have a dial that you turn up and down? Like, what are you? What's your balance?
Well, I think I'm quite a good trainer. I like to put a bit of effort in every session because I got always told like you play like you train. So I'm trying every training session to make the most of it. And maybe I'm a little bit more aggressive when it comes to the Saturday or the Sunday, but I'm not far from it every day in the week.
How much of motivation is proving what you can do to other people? Like, this is what I can do. I've got to show these people.
Yeah, I think through my whole life, you know, you always get across people that think you're not going to do something out of your life. And it's always nice. It's a motivation that you keep somewhere in your head. And I think, that's what you think. Now I'm going to show you what's going to happen.
Like I said, I've noticed you in the tunnel when we're at games, and you're a pretty intense dude. Do you just get into a zone? What's your thing? I used to work in motorsport, and motorcyclists would just put their helmet on an hour before a race and just sit there. What's your zone? What's your method on a game day?
Well, I probably do the same every week. So, listen a bit of music when I get to the stadium. Once I arrive into the locker, turn everything off, send a little message to the missus. Yeah, I just got to the stadium now. Leave me alone, basically. And I start getting ready. So now I do my preparation, activate all the muscles, and then my head is in the game. So as soon as I cross this tunnel, when I just go on the pitch, I know it's going to be tough because every week is tough games, and I'm ready for the fight.
You don't seem like a dude that needs to get worked up for a game. It looks like you're just on. What's that final walk out onto the pitch? What's going through your mind? Are you trying to calm yourself down? Trying to psych yourself up? Are you thinking about tactics? Like, what's that moment like for you?
Yeah, well, just the most important thing for me is to be really ready physically for the game, so I'm trying to get a good warm up under my belt, and then give a little look to the other team and see if they're up for it as well, because I know I'm up for it. And then it's pretty well, as I said, you know, it's pretty similar what I do every week. As soon as I cross the line and get on the pitch, I know I'm ready. So anyone who wants to come, I'm ready for them.
Are you one of these geezers that doesn't like to look across at the guys in the tunnel, or do you like to make eye contact like a boxer?
Yeah, I think it's a shame. It's getting less and less now. Back in the days, it used to be like you felt like you were winning games even before to get in the pitch, and maybe sometimes we lack a little bit of this. But I don't mind looking at people in the eyes and. Not talking, but just like they see the eyes and think, yeah, today's going to be, you're going to have me on your back and it's going to be tough. So, I think it's nice. It's nice to have that. We used to have a manager when I was in the national team that used to tell us the game starts in the tunnel. Even the way you shake hands, you send them a message in the way you shake your hand. And then it was true, you know, when you look at, and you give like a hand like this and someone who's firm and look at you in the eyes, you think, ooh.
Matt, do you think that energy and that intensity, you've kind of got to bring it because it's contagious in a way? Like you've if you're at that level, you know you can bring others with you?
Yeah, I think we've got, especially here, you know, we've got so much quality that if we do put this this effort in, I don't think anyone can compete with us. So. And I think we do. It's just sometimes it's difficult, you know. We're playing teams as well who are strong, but as you said as well, I think it's contagious. You know, you see one, you see two, you think, I want to do this for my teammate as well. He just lost the ball. Basically, you just want to count on anyone. You know, you lose the ball and you know, okay, I lost the ball, but I know the guy behind me, he's got my back. So, I think. I think when you get that feeling or this sensation, I think yeah, nothing can happen to you.
What about the other side? Like, if you're that intense on a match day and you give that much over, what's the post-match, Francis, like? Are you just like, leave me alone, everyone? Do you get over it really quickly? Or do you just sit there replaying everything in your mind? Like, what's that period of your day like on a match day?
Yeah, I guess I'm not a good person to be after the game, because we usually get a lot of arguments with the missus after the games, because I'm not really there, you know what I mean? Sometimes she wants to have like deep conversation and like massive subject about the kids, about, I don't know, and I'll answer like something is nothing to do with what she just asked me. So she'll be like, come on, just wake up, you know, the game is done now. So it's difficult, because especially when it goes wrong, you think, what happened? We should have done that, I should have done that, I should have, maybe there I should have done that. So if, yeah, you play the game in your head and many times, and yeah, it's difficult, but I'm trying to work on that, because obviously, you know, every week you demand a lot from the family and that, so obviously when it's done, you want to obviously do something different, because football is a big part, but there's always the stuff as well, so you need to cut loose a little bit when you can.
Last question for this section. What's the secret to getting through this disappointed period and then bang, being back on it again? Is there some trick?
Well, I think we always, any team or any player going through bad patches, and I think you need to...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
To have belief in yourself, you know, you know, a different player a week to another. It's just need to keep working hard. I think you don't lose your quality. It's just sometimes it's just you need a little click, and then it goes back to normal. I think because it's a team sport, I think when someone is down, it's also about the players around you who just lift you up and put you back in the right direction, because we're always going through bad patches, but that's good, not at the same time, most of the time. So when someone is a little bit bad and you can come and try and lift you up, so and where work. He's going for work, so if you want to make it better, you can.
And it's Adams put through by Bold. Would you believe it? Or Charlie George, who can hit him? Oh, a free goal!
It's up for grabs now. Thomas, right at the end.
On the 22nd of July 2006, Emirates Stadium opened its doors for the very first time as it played host to its first game. Ajax were the visitors for Dennis Bergkamp's testimonial.
The first game at Emirates fittingly saw the club pay tribute to one of the most exceptional talents ever to grace Highbury. After 11 years and 120 goals, Dennis Bergkamp pulled on an Arsenal shirt for the final time in a very special game against one of his former clubs, Ajax. A galaxy of Gunners greats assembled for this historic occasion, as well as some of the more celebrated Ajax aces of the past. The legends would play the second half of the game after the current teams played the first 45 minutes.
Klaas Jan Huntelaar put the visitors ahead, writing his name into the record books as the first scorer in the new stadium in the process. And it was a couple of Gunners legends who struck next to decide the contest.
And he's going to score! Thierry Henry! And how appropriate is that? The greatest name of the modern Arsenal gets the first goal for Arsenal in the brand new Emirates Stadium.
Kanu,
and deflected and in. Oh, poor Stanley Menzo. Kanu's almost in tears. I think he wanted Dennis to get the goal, but it's Kanu's goal for Arsenal.
This was the last time we'd see Dennis in an Arsenal shirt, and the occasion was a fitting opening to Arsenal's new home. We'll have another history lesson in our next show, but next we're going to hear from Jack Wilshere. Jack Wilshere spent most of last season recovering from injury, but is now back to full fitness and featured for England in this summer's European Championships in France. Here's his chat with Arsenal media's Carl Finocchiaro, where he spoke in depth about the FA Youth Cup victory of 2009.
Now, I remember you did the first interview you did off the pitch after you won the FA Cup in 2014. Yeah. You said it reminded you of that feeling of 2009. Why did it leave such a lasting impression?
I think because it was my first feeling of winning something, you know, and if it felt like I was getting closer and closer to the first team, it was more real. It was the FA Youth Cup. You know, it wasn't about developing anymore. It was about knockout football where you had to win to get to the next round. And we, you know, it was important as well because we'd been together as a group of players for 8 to 10 years, and to finally win something that actually mattered, and the club hadn't won it for a long time, so that was special.
What was the camaraderie like in the group? It's really different when you're a bunch of teenagers.
Yeah, it was different. I mean, Francis was there, so he could tell you more as well, but it's different, you know, because as I said, week in, week out, you're trying to develop. Okay, you want to win, you want to learn how to win, but most importantly, the coach is looking at how you're developing, and then all of a sudden, you have to learn how to deal with knockout football. So it's definitely a different feeling because now we're in the first team, it's about winning week in, week out.
Is there, you know, I watch a lot of college sports. They reckon college is a bit more pure because it's not about the money. It's not about anything. It's just about a bunch of mates achieving something. Do you know what they're talking about there? Do you agree with that to an extent?
A part of me agrees with it. A part of me doesn't, because even now, you know, okay, it's our job and we get paid for it, but why we started out playing football when we were 6 or 7 is because we love the game. And I suppose even up to youth team level, you know, where you're still... you're getting paid, but I mean, you're getting paid nothing really, and it's still about developing and learning and sort of aspiring to get into the first team and, you know, make it your job.
Do you feel close to the guys from the 09 team? Do you feel like you bonded in a special way?
Yeah, we did. As I said, you know, we were together for a lot of us for 8 to 10 years. You know, so we grew up together and, you know, we were friends, and we did have a special relationship, you know, and even now if I bump into him, we still talk about that, and Francis is obviously still here, and, you know, we still have a little chat about it.
Do you keep track of where they're at? Do you ever Google them like the rest of us?
Yeah, I know where most of them are. You know, I mean, they've all made careers out of the game. They're all playing to a decent level, and, you know, it's a shame because I thought a few of them could have really gone on and made a difference at Arsenal, or if not at Arsenal, somewhere else in the Premiership.
In terms of guys that have gone on to play pro football, could you tell at that moment in 09, did you look around and think, oh, we've got a good group here, a lot of these guys are going to make careers?
Yeah, I think you don't really think about it when you're in the moment and you're playing and you're trying to get to the first team, because it still feels like a long way away when you're training, you're playing the youth team and you're looking at the first team, and it's a big step up. But, you know, when we look back now, you know, and you look at, no disrespect to the youth teams now, but you look at them and, you know, of course there's some good players in there, but when I look back at our team, that we were all good players. We went onto the pitch week in, week out, knowing that, you know, we're better than these. If we play to the best of our abilities, we're going to win. And it was the same in the Youth Cup as well.
Jet, Henry Lansbury, Kyle Bartley, all made it to the fringes of the first team, but you and Francis are the only ones that really established yourself. Does that give you an indicator of kind of how high the standard is here at Arsenal? Is that what it's all about?
Yeah, as I said, it's a massive step up, even from reserves to first team. The whole mentality changes, you know, it's more aggressive, you need to win, there's pressure from the boss and the fans, you know, you're playing in front of 60,000. So some players can deal with that and others struggle to. But I think, you know, if you look through the Premiership, you know, if there was at any other club, they would have been playing in the first team. But, you know, the standard here is high. And fair play to the boss as well, because he's obviously under some pressure as well to get Champions League, to win titles, to win FA Cups, and to stick with the young players and give them a chance is credit to him and credit to us as well.
One of the guys who gave a chance is Francis. I mean, how well is he doing now? Do you have a special bond with him? Do you feel like you've been in this big, long ride together? And his has been very different to yours.
Yeah, we do. You know, he's probably now my best friend in the team. You know, we've been together, as you said, for, what is it now, 7-8 years. So we are good friends, and you know, it's just we have like a special relationship where, you know, we don't hang out together. But we know that we're there for each other because we've been there from the start.
Yeah, is it kind of a different vibe with him, because you guys knew each other when you were kids? It's not like when you meet each other and you're an adult, it's a different vibe. Yeah. Is it because of that you think it's a bit different?
Yeah, exactly. It's because as well, as I said before, the mentality in the youth team is different. So we both know what it's like to step up, and we know what it's like back there. And you know, we had the same coach, and now is Steve Boldy, who works with the first team, so it's quite nice.
Boldy, as a manager, I'm guessing from when I've spoken to Boldy, there's probably pretty straight talking. What was he like as a gaffer? Was he good?
Yeah, he was. He was, you know, probably the best coach I've ever worked with to now. You know, he was strict, but you knew that you couldn't mess around. You know, you knew that we had to have the right attitude every day in training. He knew what it would take to get you to the first team. So you listened to him, you respected him, and you know, the odd time you fell out of line, he weren't afraid to tell you.
I'm not going to say he's a scary guy, but can you imagine having played against Boldy? How yeah. Frightening.
Well, I remember him as a coach. You know, it's a bit different now, because obviously in the first team you're dealing with different pressures, different players. But I remember when we was in the youth team, you know, a few times that, you know, he'd been in my face screaming and shouting, and not just me, the others, and it worked. You know, some players like that. Me personally, I like that type of coach who's not afraid to tell you. You know, you walk in at half time and he's not afraid to dig you out and tell you, and he was definitely one of them.
Cool, last one. How much do you think something, experiencing success at a young age, winning something like that, how important do you think that is in teaching you a lesson that you can use later on in life? How to win, for example.
Yeah, as I said before, you know, that footballer when you're that age is all about developing and you know, making yourself a better player. But I think part of that development is learning to win, because you know, you can't not learn that, and then all of a sudden going to the first team and you've got to win week in, week out. You know, some people say, oh, it's about developing and making the player better, but the result doesn't matter. But for me, winning is part and parcel of football, and that's what you want to learn to do.
That's full time for this week's Arsenal Weekly podcast, and we're back on Wednesday the 3rd of August, when we'll be hearing from both David Seaman and Charlie George. To make sure you don't miss that, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or follow the Arsenal SoundCloud page. Until then, it's bye for now, and come on, you Gunners.
The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.